Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series that we're calling Alive. We're working our way through the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And we've been looking at last week, at least at the Delaware campus, we started off in verses 1 through 6. This Sunday, we went through 7 through 14 and really focused most of our time on 7 and 8, talking about how we have redemption and forgiveness in Christ, that because of Jesus and because of his sacrifice on the cross, we've been redeemed, which means we've been bought back from our slavery. We were enslaved to our sin, and Jesus bought us back and set us free in Christ, in him. And then also we have the forgiveness of our sins, that not only have we been freed, but we've also been forgiven. And so we talked at length about those two things, about understanding what it is that Jesus has done for us, that he freed us from slavery. He didn't just make us a better version of ourselves, but he freed us from slavery, and that he also forgave us, which means we don't have to look back at our past and be haunted by or be doomed to repeat the same mistakes of the past. We really can give over our guilt and our shame and our regret to the Lord and not justify it, not rationalize it, not rationalize the mistakes we've made, but rather repent of those things and then be forgiven, which is harder, but ultimately better because Jesus washes us clean. And this is the big idea of the series, and really actually what I want to talk about here for a couple of minutes, that he makes us new. That's something we've been saying every week, is that Jesus makes us new. Paul says that in various ways through various illustrations throughout the letter of Ephesians. Probably the most famous way that he said it was in actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where he says, behold, right, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And I've been thinking about this idea of Jesus making us new, and I said this already, and I keep saying it to our folks because I think it's important to hear, and that is that Christianity is not a self-help program. Christianity, our faith, is not a self-improvement project, a self-improvement plan or strategy. Christianity is an invitation to die to self. It is an invitation from the Lord for us to die to ourselves and to come alive in him, to be made new in Christ because of what Jesus did, which is wonderful news. You're not just a better version of yourself. You're a completely new person. You are a new creation in Christ. But there's also some things that we should see about ourselves. If that's true of us, that should radically change the way in which we live. And I want to be very careful here. I'm not saying, hey, you have to do certain things and then Jesus makes you new. You repent and you receive salvation. Jesus makes you new. That's a gift. But you should begin to see, if that's true of you, you should begin to see some real and radical changes in your life. And one of the symptoms, if I can say it that way, the symptoms of being new, one of the things that results in your life is that when you die to self and you come alive in Christ, glorifying him becomes the chief aim of your life. Loving him above all else should mark you and I as believers. And so I want to ask a question of you, right? If you would say, yes, I am a believer, I am a Christian, and I believe Jesus has made me new, would you also say that the chief aim of your life is to pursue Christ, to glorify him, to love him, that is more important than anything else? Or are there things in your life that compete very much? And not just maybe compete, but maybe you would say, man, no, like right now I would say getting the right job is the chief aim of my life. Finding the right spouse is the chief aim of my life. Making a lot of money and retiring comfortably is the chief aim of my life. Having kids is the chief aim of my life. Being happy, right, in things not having to do with Christ, right, just being happy, pursuing the things of the world, those are the chief aims of my, it's the chief aim of my life. If you can honestly say, man, that it's not Christ, it's not pursuing him, it's not his glory, it is those other things, then there's a real problem there. That's something that we have to identify and repent of and say, Lord, forgive me. If I'm new in you, I don't want these things to compete for my affection. I don't want these things to be, honestly, what they are is idols in my life that I'm worshiping and orienting my life around. I don't want that to be anything other than you. I remember, this has been 10 years now, a decade ago in my life, I was in college, and I came to a moment in my life where I realized a lot of the things that I were pursuing, whether it was a relationship, romantic relationship, academics, athletics, those are some of the things that really comprised what I would say were the chief aims of my life to some extent. And I remember praying to the Lord during that season, God, I don't want to build my life on anything other than you ever again. I thought about what Jesus said when he said, right, when you build your life on anything that's not him, it's like building it on the sand, right? When the winds and the rains of life come, and they will come, you find that your house is built on something that is not secure. But when you build your life on Christ, you build your life on the solid rock, right? The cornerstone. When the winds and the rains come, you find that that house stands because it has a solid foundation, Christ himself. And so I told the Lord then and there, I said, God, I don't want to build my life on anything other than you ever again. And have I done that perfectly always? No, right? I mean, there have been things in my life that have competed for my affections, and I have to repent of those things. And hear me say, I'm not saying any other things are not good things. You can enjoy those things and say, Lord, thank you for these things. But the point is that they don't replace God. And he is first and foremost in your life over all. Everything else is to be enjoyed as a good gift from him. And so if any of that resonates with you this morning, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to encourage you to pray for yourself to say, Lord, if I'm truly new in you, then God, I want the chief aim of my life to be you, your glory, to love you. And Father, I don't want to build my life on anything else, anything less than Christ. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for everybody who's listening right now. And Lord, I pray that would be true of us, that we would be a people who embrace this truth that because of Jesus, we are new. And because of that, we should have new loves, new affections, a new aim in life. The old person is dead. The old man or woman is dead. And a new man or woman has come to life. And that person, as a believer in Christ, the chief aim of our life should be, God, loving you, pursuing you, seeing your glory, your kingdom pushed forward in the world. And I pray, God, that all other pursuits would fall away, and we would fix our eyes on you. We'd build our life on you, the solid rock. I pray that and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time right now just to speak to the Lord and pray for yourself.